Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and I'm joined by Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on today's show, we're diving deeper into contract negotiation. Ooh, Sherry, this is something that usually makes people cringe.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to do it to make it interesting and adventuresome and fun and very much more collaborative.
All right, well, let's dive in. I'm ready. I'm going to take some serious notes because I'm in the middle of a couple of contract negotiations, and I want to know how I can do it better.
Okay, we'll start right up. Well, first of all, you have already gone through some degree of discovery together as to a good enough set of reasons for you to be pre-qualified to work together. What they want is what you have to offer. You have some kind of a sense in the pre-definition, the pre-clarification stage that you've already gone through of how you can be of service to them. But also, you have already decided that it's something actually that you want to do that's going to add some kind of a benefit, even if it is very timely cash flow only. It still is not something that's going to take away from you or jeopardize the brand that you've already built or fly in the face of any of your foundational kind of values or principles to begin with. So you're already on a high ground, so to speak, together at that point. So the very first thing I want to do is to create a document that's kind of an outline, but in prose form, so it has a little bit more than just bullets to it. And I write this up. In my case, it normally is going to be an agreement for 4 to 6 months in order for us to really test the water of what we can build together for them. And so there's a lot of listening and responding on my part. There's some field work on their part. And I'm wanting to, from the very beginning of my set of exchanges with them, I am wanting to pre-educate them as to how the two of us can best work together in my experience, and also learn from them what past experiences they have had are other types of experiences that are related but not exactly the same, that they can pre-educate me about how to best meet them, you know, along the way. I want to set in place verbally before we actually get to the written agreement what to do if something goes awry for either of us. How do we best speak up about that and get that documented? And I want that to be included in our process. So what my actual agreement looks like in the very, very beginning is a statement of purpose. It identifies who the parties are, and in my case, it's a process that's going to be both supported and facilitated by me. And the period of time is documented at the very beginning. And then a statement of purpose. And this is going to list some priorities and some additional information about the client that the client fills in about themselves early on in the document. So the very first part of the document is mostly about them and what we're agreeing to set out to do together. And it forms the core of our initial work together from the basis of the type of professional work we're going to be doing. And in my case, I like to get their assets and their qualities of really good talent potential documented at the very early stage of what it is they're going to be leveraging to accomplish our success together. And I will do the same. So that's part of our early foundation. And it's in my case, it includes some actual steps we're going to take together. some actual processes that we're going to use, and some activities that together we will plan and execute that relate directly to actions as they move into a specific time frame. And in my case right now, my agreement would say move into 2018, because any contract that I initiate in November is going to extend on into 2018. And if it's a short-term process, and that's going to end by the conclusion of 2017, then you document that. I want to include in this any kind of introductions or fresh exploration, as well as any research as to self-discovery. So this kind of thing is kind of written up right there at the beginning. So my very first inquiry to them, and this is kind of a fill-out as you go form, is titled Priorities and Additional Information, and the client fills this out. My key and my current purposes and main two or three objectives are, and then I've got a place right there for three of those objectives. So they and I know right up front what we're coming together to most quickly accomplish. And so then I make available to them some resources after that. And that's where I describe what it is I would like them to do. And I have a, and I'll send you a copy, Jennifer, in case people do want to see that, of a two-page front and back, one piece of paper front and back, of what I want them to go do in between. I use a couple of different assessments that I don't have financial investment in myself, and that they can buy independently and own. But I build on positive elements and not improvement needs or what's missing. I build on what's already present. And so one of the tools I use is the Kolbe, KOLBE.com. And they have a public version available. And so I want them to have read their report when we start working together, because we're going to be doing some things based on that in terms of their actions. And so I want them to list right here as part of our agreement, I want to build upon or expand and extend use of the following skills, talents, strengths, and capabilities. In your case, you may want to know what their resources are already. Do they have some preferences? What are they going to be dependent on to do their end of the preparation, for example, for what you guys are going to end up doing together for them? So, and most people don't just start cold. I mean, people come to you, you know, because you're established. They come to you with something in mind. And so I want to know what we're going to be building on that they're going to bring to the table right there. And then my next part of this co-agreement is what additional goals may be that they want us together to track on that will evidence their progress during our work together. And there's a place for them to fill in what those kinds of things may be. Because from the very beginning, we're expecting some accountability to be involved. I want to know who that's going to be with them. I want them to know what kind of accountability I'm going to provide, and also what kind of accessibility to me in our process. And I don't have a ticking meter going with that, and I'll explain that as we get to it. Mm-hmm. The second thing I want to know there, and remember, I'm a business coach, so I'm kind of working on making sure their life works with whatever we state they want the two of us to be doing together to make changes and additions to their business life. I want to make sure their personal life also doesn't get in the way, though for that I may refer them to some for more training, or you know, to a therapist sometime, or to other resource kind of thing, maybe to a speaking consultant if adding more public speaking is in there, and I can help them a little bit with that, but that's not my forte, so I have someone I send them to for that. So the second thing they would document under this category was if what they may want to resolve or rectify that are circumstances, situations, or challenges that they already know they're up against. And so, for example, I've got something going currently with a solo mom, and we already know scheduling is going to be our biggest challenge. the work together has a high potential to go very, very well. And the biggest difficulty is going to be being in continuous enough touch, contact. That doesn't mean all the time, but maybe once in between our sessions, and our sessions will probably be two times a month, and we'll document that in this agreement. So I want to know then if there is anything like that that they want support with, or if it's something they're going to take on independently without me, but that I know in the background that they're working on that. So let me stop right there and see if this kind of thing is possible, for example, for you to include in any of your agreements.
You know, mine is not that different from yours. I do what's called a discoverability meeting as I'm working, trying to pre-qualify the clients. Is that we do a discoverability meeting where I find out what exactly it is that they think they want, and then I identify what I really think that they need, and then I come up with a mind map. I'm big on mind maps.
So me too. This is great. Yeah.
So I create a mind map of, based on our discoverability meeting, this is what I believe you have stated that you want, and here's the services that I can provide. This is the timeline. Here's phase one, phase two, phase three. When a potential client sees it laid out like that, it really helps mm-hmm. them identify that, yes, this is what we want. No, I didn't mean it that way. And that, then from that, if they want to proceed, then we move over to the agreement phase. And that will be where I, you know, state that this is who this person is, you know, this is their company, they're looking for these kinds of services, I'm the person that provides those kinds of services, and I list out what it is that we're going to do in the time frame, and of course the price point. But the other piece too is making them know that our work is dependent on one another. If they want mm-hmm. to accomplish those goals, and I'm right. waiting for documentation or for approval or for permissions or for whatever to happen, right. then we can't move forward till they get there. By the same token, if they've given me all of those things and they're now waiting on me to, you know, come up right. with whatever the deliverables are, they can't move yeah. forward until I do that. And in that way, it very much is a partnership and a joint effort of us working side by side to move this to where they feel is that KPI, that key performance indicator of success.
That's right. And that's the key philosophical underpinning of this whole co-drafting piece. I give them some support to begin with to kind of hang things onto or to stage things within, but then they have the prerogative to adapt or revise or add or take away, you know, any part of this. But when it comes to takeaway, I want to know why they want to take that away, or if they want to provide something else, you know, instead, because I really want to know what their circumstance is when we're going to work together, because if we can't kind of have truth exchanges, we're already limited a little bit about the amount of good that we can do for them. So, and then I concretely ask within, and I had referenced this in show number 15 briefly, within the upcoming 90 to 120 days, what they would consider eliminating in terms of what I call energy drainers. They may call it life inconveniences, or my industry calls it tolerations that they've been putting up with. But what I want to know personally is, what are they in control of, and what impinges on them that they're not really in control of? It's not a problem, but we need a plan of a workaround with that. And that's the only reason I want to know about it there. So I asked them to actually document that. And then gets to our measurable and observable results. And we state, I partner with them in stating those in such a way that we both can be able to independently track our outcomes during our engagement together with this very document as to how we're doing what and when as we go through. And so this document may alter as it evolves, as our working relationship evolves. And we may be able to have conversations about what we've already done enough of and switch gears, even though it may be to some extent incomplete. It may be complete enough for their purpose. The fifth point under all of this is the fundamental changes or shifts in mindset or beliefs or points of view that they anticipate they may have to make. Your point, one of the things I've heard you reference is sometimes your clients come in with the point of view that you're going to do more specific in the trench kind of stuff for them. You may have a means for drawing on one of your partnerships for that to happen, but it does not mean you personally are going to do that. So you want to make that very clear in your written co-agreement, you know, before you even get very far into the launch there. In my case, a lot of people like to use the services of a business coach instead of a psychologist or a therapist. And so I want to have one of those in the wings if they actually do have ongoing issues. That may be related to an addiction. It may be related to a really toxic relationship situation they're getting out of. It may be a past betrayal that they're getting over. But I want to know they have something in their background that is going to be supportive of them in addition to what we're going to be doing together moving forward in that way. And then I have an open-ended piece toward the end of this for any kind of clarification or verification that they believe I may benefit from knowing in the areas of blank, blank. And so they can tell me if there's anything else. Like, for example, I have had a client involved in a real estate lawsuit that wasn't going to impinge on the work we were doing together, but it could impinge on the schedule of court dates. So he wanted me to know about that, you know, in advance, because we had a regular twice-a-month kind of meeting that we were going to be holding and had kind of prearranged the calendar for. So and then one of the pieces is what they will value most about what I may be able to bring into our partnership. I want them to document that. And I also want them to know about any caveats. Like, for example, if they may have somebody moving to town, like, say, an aging parent or an aging parent they're going to have to travel to, or anything that might interrupt our process. I don't want to have to do anything about it right now or ask them to do anything about it right now, but I want them to document that because of the way we work together. And this is kind of the therapeutic probe that I do that you will not need to do, and most businesses that are not quite as personalized as the type of business I have that intertwines it's for business design and business process and business success, but their personal life impinges on that, so I have this included. Overall, I'd rate the quality of my personal life currently on a scale of 10 as a 1 to 10, and I kind of want them to document that because I'd like their life to improve with our work as well as their business. And then in the past, what immediately follows that, in the past 6 months, I'd say the quality of my personal life has been, and to have some kind of a contrast there. And then I ask them the same thing about the quality of their business life. And then at the very end, they can add anything else that they want to know about me or any questions that they have about me. And then our action items begin to get started. And beginning right here in our co-agreement, I want to start documenting what the action items, for example, in December would be if we were contracting this month, moving into December after the Thanksgiving holiday. So I don't know if this is useful to you, but it is. And then it's how I do it. And then I have a whole section on billing and what my understanding is about what we're going to do with that. And we have co-agreed already, kind of like you have mentioned, you come to terms with too. And then the last section is about process and how I'm on call with no ticking meter between our sessions for like kind of coach on call, 5 to 10 minute exchanges for updates or for whatever. What do you do in your agreement for things that come up that they may want to be in communication with you before your next appointment, for example?
Well, since mine is more project based and not coaching and actual tasking, depending on the situation, I am available via email, via call, via text at any time, pretty much. Some of the clients that I work with, they have events that are on the weekends. So not even weekends are off base, because I know going into the project that that's going to be part and parcel of what we're doing as part of it. Of course, you charge accordingly for those types of things. But yeah, I mean, I am someone who is pretty available. Now, granted, if someone's, you know, texting you or sending you things at, like, you know, 9 o'clock at night, no, you don't respond to that. First of all, you shouldn't be checking your email. You should be resting with your family. But yeah, there, you know, there are those kind of, you know, limits that you have to put in place when you are someone that is more available. Then you still need to identify what those limits are and set them, because if not, if you don't set those limits, then you're going to have someone who's running all over you, and it's frustrating for you. And at the end of the day, if they expect you to answer at late hours or on a weekend when that's not part of the agreement, then you're setting yourself up for misunderstanding. So identifying those things in advance of how available you are and when you're available and when they can expect, setting those expectations really is another key to success when you're working with clients.
That's right. And what's most important about having a co-drafted agreement is that you both know where you stand all along the way. And what's flexible will be flexible. And what is committed, you're both committing to all out, you know, for the success of the arrangement, the success, the reaching of the goals. So I like that. I do like that stated. My, in terms of my process, how it actually reads is, my understanding is, to be accessible for you for the span and duration of our scheduling. This access includes spending up to an hour to an hour and a half together in these and one-on-one appointments, or one-on-group appointments if I'm meeting with their whole team, and where we have predetermined what's up and when our meeting to follow will occur, when our next meeting will occur. And then, like you, I have no additional charge for spontaneous coach on-call contacts. And these relate to specific purposes that we will mutually understand, will be brief exchanges such as up to 5 to 10 minutes with no additional charge accruing. And so they don't have to wait for the next appointment. When either one of us realizes that it's going to go beyond that, what we do is move up to a closer date, often our scheduled next appointment. We might change that rather than add, you know, a ticking meter kind of thing. I don't charge by time. I'm on pre-agreed retainer, and I bill either by the month, the quarter, or the year in advance. And then we have set appointments. We have a certain number of frequencies of defined, you know, meetings that we're going to have. But one meeting, if it's is successfully executed, maybe 15 minutes. Another one may be an hour and a half. It just depends on what that person needs at the time. So I think there are a lot of similarities in how we do business, though our businesses itself, themselves are very different. I also have a relationship here about copyright and how anything I've personally copyrighted through my the Lowry Group and my personal you know, stamp is of theirs and available to adapt and to reuse, because I do a percentage, about 20% of my business is training coaches or mentoring coaches who are going for credentials, are stepping up, you know, their own game. So I want to give them pre-authority, so to speak, for about materials. If I am giving them access to something someone else has copyrighted, that's not included, and that's excluded from the agreement. So I don't know if that's been helpful, but that's kind of the process that I go through in this. And the determination of the pricing, the fee setting, we're going to hold that for another show.
You know, this is just so helpful, because I think a lot of times we're in such a rush to close the deal that we skip a lot of these steps in just that flurry to kind of get there quickly and start working on the project. But I'm telling you, folks, if you will pause and take the time to really do this and do it well, it's going to serve you and your client in the best way possible. And you'll avoid a lot of those awkward, painful client situations by just really getting this done. And once you get practiced into doing it, it becomes very fluid, and it's not like stop the presses, let me stop everything and do this. It just becomes a natural flow of the negotiation and work together process. And I would say, Sherry, that now nobody, you don't have any problems with it. Your clients don't have any problems with it. This is just the way that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're right. And we do have things that we can't always agree on, or that just simply aren't timely. And that's good to know. And we have set-asides, kind of. You know, we may have situations with clients where we know they need to put a campaign together a certain way. They may not be in a position to do that. So, you know, you come to compromise about certain things. But you both know you're doing that, and you're both agreeing, you know, to do that.
Fantastic. Another great show. What are we going to be talking about tomorrow, Sherry?
Tomorrow, I think it sounds timely to me to go into the beginning of setting of fees and changing of fees, raising fees when you don't necessarily want to raise fees, though you may get encouragement to do so, and more the sustainability of a long-term working relationship.
Man, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of this stuff, and I absolutely love it, because this is the stuff that people get weird about and feel awkward about. And the process that you're taking us through takes away that fear factor, that concern, that worry, that awkwardness, because it becomes a process, and it's just what you do to run your business. So thank you for another fantastic show.
You're welcome.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.